Please get your Bible and turn it to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. We will read verses 6 through 12. Let's hear God's word. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed God? Or how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions or offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may God Himself bless it to our benefit. The book of Malachi was written by prophet Malachi during the time when God's covenant people were backsliding. If you recall, God's people returned to the land of Israel from the Babylonian exile. And there in the land of Israel, the Israelites rebuilt the temple for worship. However, the people of Israel backslid. And so, through prophet Malachi, God delivered His final message of judgment on the people of Israel for their long continued unfaithfulness and backsliding. And the sins prevalent among the Israelites during this time were the following four. First, corruption in the priesthood. That is to say, the priests, the religious leaders of the congregation of the people of Israel were very corrupt. Second, disrespect of the Sabbath. The Israelites desecrated the Sabbath day. Third, intermarriage. They married foreigners or unbelievers. And then fourth, neglect to give their tithes to the Lord. In other words, God's people were not giving 10% of their income. And that's the sin that God is concerned about here in our text. You people are robbing me, your God. And here you are asking, how are we robbing you? You are robbing me of the offerings and of the 10% that belongs to me. And so this morning, with God's help, as part of our series on the elements of public worship service, we will look at God's teaching on giving. And we will do that in light of our text, which I divided into three sections. The first section, God's concern for His people, verse 8. Second section, God's curse upon His people, verse 9. And third section, God's challenge to His people, verse 10. So first of all, let's look at our first point, the first section of our text here. God's concern for His people. Look at verse 8, please. Will man rob God? The answer, of course, is a big no. We will not rob God. And we must not rob God. But God says to His people, yet you are robbing me. Imagine that. God's people are robbing their own God. They are cheating God. They are stealing from God. And God continues, but you say, how have we robbed you? Here you can tell that the Israelites are denying God's charge because God is charging His covenant people as thieves, as robbers. But they are denying it. Lord, wait a minute. In what way have we robbed you? Tell us. We are innocent. And so they are acting like innocents in this context, while in fact, they are guilty. And so God says, you want to know in what way you are robbing me? In your tithes and contributions. So first of all, in your tithes. Now, under the law of Moses, the Israelites were to give their tithes to the Lord. We see that in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Let me read that verse. 1/10 of all the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, belongs to the Lord. And then verse 32, one of every 10 domestic animals belongs to the Lord. When the animals are counted, every 10th, and that's the meaning of the word tithe. 1/10. Every 10th one belongs to the Lord. And so, if you are an Israelite, you have 10, let's say, cows. So you count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. God says, the 10th cow belongs to me. That's what we call tithe. The problem is, the people of Israel are not giving their tithes to the Lord. And in that sense, they are robbing their God. Now you might ask, why did God command His people to tithe? Well, we have an answer in Numbers chapter 18, verse 21. I am giving the Levites 1/10 of every Israelite's income. This is in return for the work they do at the tent of meeting or tabernacle. In other words, God commanded His covenant people to give their tithes to Him for the maintenance of the service of the Lord, for the maintenance of the priests and Levites who serve in the temple, to provide financial resources for the ministry of God. And also, of course, to provide for the needy and destitute. The problem that we see during this time, during the time of Malachi, and even during the time of Nehemiah, and we read this in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10, from Nehemiah's own words. This is what he observed among the people of Israel. So listen to what Nehemiah says in Nehemiah 13, verse 10. I also found out that the temple singers and several other Levites had returned to work on their farms because they had not been given their share of the harvest. And it is in this sense that the people are robbing God of the services of the Levites who were driven away by poverty and destitution. Because imagine, because the people were not giving their tithes to the Lord, the priests, the workers of God, had nothing to feed their families, had nothing to feed themselves. And so they were forced to return to their old work, probably farming. And so now you don't have a minister in the temple. You don't have a priest. And God says, that's not right. We need to support the ministry so that the priest can work here and serve me and serve you. And so Malachi 3:9 says, you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Think about that. You are not just robbing me, but also the whole nation. Now, we have to understand that the nation of Israel in the Old Testament is the Old Testament church. This is the congregation of the people of Israel. So by not giving your tithes, you are robbing me, yes, but also the entire congregation of the people of Israel. Because they could not function well. It's like, imagine if all of us stop giving our tithes or offerings to the Lord. How will this church survive? Think about that. And then God also adds, you ask me how you are robbing me in tithes and contributions or offerings. In other words, the Israelites, they would bring defective offerings to the Lord in the temple. And we see that actually in chapter 1. Look at chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. Malachi, chapter 1, verses 6, 7, and 8. As son honors his father, and a servant his master, if then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear or worship? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests, you despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised when you offer blind animals in sacrifice. Is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame and sick, or sick, is not that evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. So the Israelites, they started bringing defective, lame, blind animals for their offerings. And God says to them, you are robbing me. Because you are giving to me that which I do not deserve. I don't deserve that male or that lame animal, blind animal. And because of that, God sent a curse upon the congregation of the people of Israel. And this will lead me to my second point. God's curse upon His people. Look at verse 9, please. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse. Why? For you are robbing me, the whole nation, the whole congregation of you. You see, God's covenant people during this time were experiencing a national calamity. There was famine in the land of Israel. They were under God's curse. And they were under God's curse because of their long, continued unfaithfulness and backsliding, especially in this area, in the area of giving. They were not faithful in their giving to the Lord. And as they had refused to give God His due, withholding the tithes and offerings, so had God withheld from them the fruits, products of the field. Same principle. Simple principle. God says to His people, you withhold your tithes and offerings, I will also withhold my blessings. You don't honor me with your substance, I will not also honor you with material, physical, financial blessings. Therefore, in our passage, God is calling His people to return to Him in repentance. That's the context. When we read verses 6 and 7, I, the Lord, never change. That is why you, descendants of Jacob, have not been destroyed yet since the time of your ancestors. You have not turned away from my laws and have not followed them. Return to me in repentance. My people, return to me and I will return to you in blessing, says the Lord of armies. But you ask, how can we return? Again, there is a denial here. God's people are denying their sin. By implication, they're saying to God, wait a minute, we don't need to return to you in repentance. In their self-righteous delusion, they're so self-deceived. They thought that they were okay in the sight of God when in fact they were sinning against Him. They were imagine this, they were robbing God. And so God says, return to me. You have sinned against me. You have committed a crime. You are guilty of the 8th commandment. You shall not steal, but you have stolen from me. You have stolen that which belongs to me. And so stop denying your sin. Admit your sin. Confess your sin. And I will forgive you. Return to me and I will also return to you. And here we see that God is really appealing to the conscience of His people. And then here comes His challenge to His people. Our third point, God's challenge to His people. Look at verse 10. Having called them to repentance, now He's challenging them. Verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is a room in the temple designed for the storage of offerings. Bring the full tithe, not partial. Bring it into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then He goes on to say, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. You know, ironically, because the Israelites were withholding their offerings and tithes, they were suffering economically. Their economic condition at this time was so bad. The nations around them were laughing at them because of their economic situation. Poverty, famine. You know, sometimes we think that if we don't give, we get more. We will get richer. But that principle doesn't work in Christian life. Because they are not giving to God, that's why they are suffering economically. And so God's challenge now is this. Put me to test. I am challenging you, my people. Give your offerings to me. Give your tithes to me. And I will bless you. I will ask the door of heaven to open so that it will pour out its blessings on you. I will bless you until there is no more need. And that's why here we see that when we give, we are exercising our faith in God. I remember reading this story. A man came to visit his pastor and said, "Pastor, my tithe is becoming a problem to me. When I was only a $50 a week ribbon clerk, it was not much trouble to drop $5 in the offering plate. But now that I've gotten a large income, I cannot spare the large amount of tithe that would be my portion now. I wonder if you could help me with this problem." And so the pastor replied, "Bill, I appreciate your honesty in coming to me. Let's pray about it." And so the pastor prayed along this line: "Lord, Bill's tithe is a problem to him because he is making so much money. Lord, give him business reverses. Reduce his income so his tithe won't be a problem." And the man interrupted the pastor and said, "Hold on, Pastor. I don't think my tithe will be a problem anymore." But you see, sometimes we have that attitude. Well, I don't really want to give to the Lord. Imagine if you are earning 70,000 a year or 100,000 a year. You give to the Lord your tithe to Him. That's like $10,000. And you imagine, well, I'll just keep it. That's a lot of money. But God is challenging us. Be faithful to me, and I will. And I will be faithful to you. I will bless you. You do not have because you do not give. On his 10th birthday, a sensitive boy received 10 shiny silver dollars from a thoughtful uncle. And so the child was very appreciative. He immediately sat down on the floor and spread the coins before him. Then he began to plan how to use the money. He set aside the first dollar, saying, "This one is for the Lord." He then went on to decide what to do with the second, and so on until he came to the last dollar. "This one, the last dollar, is for the Lord also." And the boy's mother interrupted, "But I thought you gave the first dollar to God." "I did," the boy replied. "The first one really belongs to Him. But this one is a gift to Him from me." And think about this. Real giving begins after we have given our tithe. After all, that tithe already belongs to God. We are just giving that which already belongs to Him. Now, as I end this message, as you are listening to this sermon, you are probably saying silently in your heart, "Well, that message about tithing does not really apply to me as a member of the New Testament church." And you probably argue that the command to tithe was only for the members of the congregation of Israel in the Old Testament. After all, you say, there is no explicit, there is no clear command in the New Testament to tithe? Well, you are absolutely right. There is no verse in the New Testament that says, you shall give to the Lord 10% of your income. But think about this. Please listen now carefully. Think about this. If in the Old Testament, they gave 10% of their income, should we not also give at least 10% of our income, since now we are in the New Testament in a better covenant, as God says? The New Testament is a better covenant than the Old Testament. If they could give their tithes in the Old Testament, should we not also give at least 10% of our income? Now, after all, let me ask you, why are you giving to God? Why? Why did you give your offering, if you did, during the collection? Why did you give it to the Lord? Well, let me say this, that first of all, we give to the Lord in response to what He has given to us, namely, that unspeakable gift of salvation, or we can even say that unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ Himself. That's why giving is part of our worship service. And if you recall in our previous messages, I said that in our worship service, there is a dialogue. There is a dialogical principle of worship. That is to say, we dialogue with God. We respond to God. He says this, and we respond to Him in praise, in singing, now in giving. Because He has given us His Son, the best gift of all. And so I give to the Lord in response to what He has given to me. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is encouraging the believers in Corinth to give for the saints in Jerusalem. And listen to what Paul says. Verses 6 and 7. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And at the end of that chapter, Paul makes this remarkable statement. He says in verse 15, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. In other words, this unspeakable gift is what motivates the people of God to give to the Lord. How can one who is in possession of this unspeakable gift grudge money for God's service? Like what I said in my prayer for our offerings. The Bible says we love because He first loved us. Now we can say that we give because He first gave us. He gave us, the Father gave us His one and only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sin, to save us from our sin. On that basis, give to the Lord. Yes, you may not agree with the idea of giving 10% of your income. But I want you to give on the basis of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when people come to me, how much shall I give to the Lord? Usually my response is this, how much have you received from Him? How much have you received from Him? Tell me, then I will tell you how much you shall give to the Lord. We have received so much from our God. That's why really the tithe is, it should be a minimum standard. It should be a guide for us. Now that we are in the New Testament, under a better covenant, we should give more to the Lord. And also, I add this, that we give as an act of our worship to God. That's why I like it, that when we give our offerings to the Lord, we do nothing. Yes, the organist plays, but we have this time just to reflect on God's goodness. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we use that time to probably, think of other things. But let's thank the Lord that we have this opportunity to reflect on God's goodness to us. Before you give your offering, before the deacons come to you, thank God for this unspeakable gift. And say, Lord, bless this offering. If you struggle in giving, be honest to the Lord and say, Lord, I hesitate to give this money, this much. But you have said in your word, give with joy, not under compulsion, not reluctantly. And so, Lord, help me. Give me a cheerful heart as I give to you. And I'm going to give this to you as an act of my worship to you. Because really, giving is a privilege given to us by our God. Because the truth is, God does not need your money. He does not need my money. His kingdom will keep going without your financial aid. Don't dare say that God needs you, that without your financial contribution, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will collapse or stop. God does not need you. You need Him. But God is giving us this precious privilege, opportunity to become a part of His kingdom work. And that's why when we give to the Lord, let us not give because we have to, but because we love to. We give not merely out of duty, but out of delight. Now imagine if you come to your wife and you bought her flowers and chocolate and a beautiful card, and she said to you, honey, it's not our wedding anniversary, it's not my birthday, why did you buy this? By the way, I thank you for this bouquet or flowers or card or chocolate. And then you said to your wife, well, because I have two. This is my duty. After all, the Bible says, husbands, love your wife. The Lord is commanding me. So I have no other option. That's why I bought you flowers. And for sure, your wife would not be happy when she hears that. And so when we give to the Lord, we say, Lord, I know you don't need my money, Lord, but I want to give it anyway because I love you. Receive it, O God, as an act of my worship to you. And thank you for giving me this privilege to be a part of your kingdom work. And I add this too. We give as an act of our faith in God. Proverbs 3 verses 9 and 10. Says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty. You want to be blessed by God? Then honor Him with your substance. But let me say this. We do not give to the Lord in order to get from Him or receive from Him. You know, some people would give because of that motivation. I want to give so that I would be blessed by God. That's actually true that He will bless you. But you don't want to give simply because of that blessing. Although the truth is, Jesus himself says, it is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. Think about that. When you give, you are actually more blessed than those who receive that gift that you have given. And so give to the Lord. And so, as I end this message, going back to our text here, we can really say that our attitude towards giving is a barometer of our spiritual life. You know the problem of the people of Israel during this time, during the time of Prophet Malachi? They were not giving to the Lord because they were dead spiritually. They were backsliding. They were far from God. They were like the Dead Sea. Do you know why the Dead Sea is dead? The Dead Sea is so salty that it contains no fish or plant life. What accounts for this unusual condition? There are absolutely no outlets. A great volume of water pours into this area, but nothing flows out. Many inlets, but no outlets, equal a Dead Sea. And this law of nature may also be applied to the child of God. And it explains why many believers are so unfruitful and lacking in spiritual vitality. Such individuals are like the Dead Sea. They have several inlets, but no outlets. To be vibrant and useful believers, we must not only take in all we can, but we must also give out in service to others. Could it be why you do not want to give to the Lord? Is because you are like the Dead Sea. You know what's amazing? The Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul says, and I will stop here by reading this. Paul says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify. And listen now, please. And beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. The problem of the people of Israel here during the time of Malachi, they could not give their tithes and offerings to God because they had not yet given their lives to God. The Macedonian believers, they gave freely, graciously. Why? Because Paul says they gave themselves first to the Lord. If you are struggling with giving, I urge you, give yourself to the Lord first, and you will find it a lot easier to give your possessions. Because if you can give your life to Him, you will also be able to give your money, your possessions to Him. And you will do so because you love Him and because He loved you. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for indeed that unspeakable gift of salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And it is out of that gift that we give to you, O God. We give to you because you first gave to us. And we thank you, O God, for your generosity to us. Indeed, you have blessed us beyond our expectation and imagination. And so, Lord, help us to give to you our best. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.